You're listening to Boston Public Radio. I'm Emily Rooney. Well, it was announced this morning that the more than 56 million Social Security recipients are going to see their monthly payments increased by 1.7% next year. That's an annual cost of living adjustment. The fact that it's a small amount reflects that there is generally a low inflation rate. But so how does the federal government determine things like the rate of inflation, cost of living? Well, as it turns out, it really happens the old-fashioned way. Hundreds of boots on the ground, they go around scouring grocery store aisles, shopping malls, knocking on doors, checking prices and collecting data, and all gets crunched, and it comes out as the CPI, Consumer Price Index. I actually didn't know this, that people did on-the-ground boots. It makes sense. Anyway, here to talk more about that are Tim Considine. He's the regional economist for the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics in Boston, and Beth Murphy, economic assistant for the Consumer Price Index. So, Beth, are you actually one of these boots on the ground kind of people?
I am, yes.
So where'd you go? Describe a day's work for you.
I download an assignment at the beginning of the month with a list of businesses that I have to visit, and I organize them in efficient travel and head out and head to grocery stores and gas stations and doctor's offices and clothing stores, and I have my list of items that I have to find and report the current price for.
So if you walk into a hair salon, you say, how much is a manicure? How much is a haircut? I mean, does everybody give you an honest answer?
Yes, it's all with permission. It's all set up from the beginning where we ask for permission.
Oh, they know you're coming.
Yes. Well, not the first time. But we go in and we ask permission to include them in our survey and to select some of the services or commodities that they sell. And then periodically I check back with them on those same services.
And I mean, like, give me an idea of what's on a day. Is it by category? So you'll do hair salons one day and then grocery stores the next?
No, it's more by territory, more to keep it efficient so that I'm traveling one area at a time. So I may visit and do some produce at one store and some meat at another and then do some women's dresses, stop by a gas station, stop by a dentist office. It's really a variety.
What are you carrying with you?
A ThinkPad, a laptop that's swivels around into a tablet, and I just tap it with my little stylus and enter all the information.
And then do you send it to the Bureau of Labor Statistics at the end of the day, or do you have to compile it?
At the end of the day, I don't do any compiling. At the end of the day, I just send it all in. I transmit it in, and it's gone from my computer until the next time I need to go back to the same places.
And you do this every single day?
3 or 4 days a week, yes. One of the days a week, maybe I'm at home making phone calls instead.
Doing the same thing, though.
Yes, some of the things can be priced by telephone.
So Tim, you're an economist. Are you one of the team that actually analyzes the numbers? How does it work?
Well, as a regional economist, our responsibility is to put out regional economic analysis based on the Bureau of Labor Statistics outputs, like the CPI, like the unemployment situation. And we specialize in the regional aspect of the data and put out monthly or annual press releases as an example of a vehicle to communicate that information to the public.
So when you see that the Social Security increase is 1.7%, is that a good thing that inflation is low, or is it better for the economy if it's fast?
Well, that's not for me to decide. I'm a representative of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We put the information out there for decision makers to use for their own purposes and to make better decisions.
Mm. Like what?
If prices are increasing at a faster rate than people are maybe accustomed to, they may forego purchasing those particular items, and they might save more. For example, like gas prices, if those are going up at a faster pace, people may be less likely to travel during the summer travel season. There's other examples. Maybe they'll eat out less if food away from home prices. Mm-hmm. That's the category we track that measures restaurant prices. If that's going up at a fast pace, they may be less likely to eat out.
Yeah. By the way, Beth, do you get any data like that from the stores and businesses you contact, or is it strictly the price? Do you collect other kinds of data, like people used to come for haircuts once every 6 weeks, now they're coming every 7 weeks? I mean, do you get that kind of stuff, too?
Occasionally, the people I speak with will clarify changes that have happened. Or, for example, if produce jumps way up, they might be able to tell me, well, the crops froze in Florida, and that's why we have this increase.
Do you make a note of that?
I do. Anything that they can offer that helps to explain any price changes, I convey that to Washington so they can consider that in the index.
We have a money person that we call Everything Money, Cheryl Marshall, and she has said to us repeatedly over the past couple times that she's been on that the price of clothing has gone down. Have you discovered that as well?
I don't tend to keep track of trends because I'm just going in each individual place and finding the price of the item I'm supposed to send the information in for. So I don't really...
You don't really notice.
I don't really notice. I mean, occasionally I'll make a personal note, but I don't follow any trends for any particular item.
I can comment on
go
that.
Go ahead,
okay,
Tim.
Okay, for the Boston metropolitan area, we just put out our press release on the September figures, and the apparel category was a contributor to the increase.
The increase.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would figure. They seem to never go down. Well, except for maybe some of the real big discounts. She was saying like H&M and those kind of things.
I was just having this conversation with my colleague. You know, it depends on like the time of year. So, for example, in September, I think they're introducing new fashion, fall fashions, for example, and those prices tend to be higher as opposed to like different times of the year where, example, like, around September, maybe summer fashion lines, those clothes would be a lot less.
Do you ever see something go down? And if so, what?
Well, yeah, and back in 2009, first when I first took over the position, the all items index for the Boston metropolitan area actually registered a decrease.
All items.
Yeah, okay, that's the encompassing index that averages the price change for all the expenditure categories that Beth and the field staff are collecting on a monthly basis. And so that was heavily driven by energy prices, if I recall.
But it did go down.
It did.
One category is electronics often goes down because it's so competitive that as they improve and make better products, they have to compete. It's just one category I happen to notice that has price drops.
Now, what about gas? Do you keep track of that?
Oh, yes.
So how?
Every month, there's certain stations that allow me to stop by and record what their pump prices are. And that definitely goes up and down and up and down.
I mean, no one has adequately been able to explain to me how a gas station owner, somebody who actually, you know, buys gas, puts it in the tank, and then pumps it up, can change their thing every single day. They bought the gas at a certain price. It's in the ground waiting for me to pump it out. They can literally change it every day, every other day. It's like, why? It's the same gas.
I actually just had a respondent explain that to me recently, which because I never understood it either.
I still don't get it. I hope this is good because I'm a skeptic.
He said he got a call 3 times in one day from the corporate office to change his price 3 times in one day by a total of 15 cents, and that was purely market-driven.
That's the first honest answer. It's like, it's what the market will bear. It has nothing to do with what the gas in the ground costs.
That's what he explained to me.
Yeah. So whatever you'll pay for it, that's what they'll charge.
Yes. Yeah. That's how I understood it.
I always love this. Oh, you know, it's the overseas this, it's the that, it's the this. This has nothing to do with that. It's gouging is what it is.
Yes.
Right?
In some respects, you know, you talk about the housing bubble, how home prices were overpriced maybe to a degree, and that, you know, it's based on the exuberance at the time. The market was willing to bear that price for houses. My own house, for example, the price has gone down since that the housing.
Too bad.
And you'd like to think that the house is, you know, the price for that house should equate to an intrinsic value. And that's not altogether true. It depends on the perception of the market.
Yeah, exactly. What about rents? You also look at rents, Beth.
Yes, I do a housing survey. Every 6 months I get the same list again.
Over Massachusetts?
Yeah, well, there's 11 of us to do it.
Oh.
So primarily my work is New Hampshire and Northern Mass, but we cover everywhere up from Worcester down to Rhode Island up into Maine. But I have a list of addresses that I primarily do by telephone because I've already spoken to them before.
Sure.
And it's landlords and managers and some tenants. And it's just a real quick survey about what their current rent and utilities are.
But when you take into consideration the size of the apartment, two-bedroom, 1,500
square feet? Yes, the initial survey has, you know, how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, all that. But I don't make them go through that every time because unless there's someone moving in or out, it's not likely that the configuration changed.
So you already know the configuration.
Right.
Well, what do you see in rents, Tim? Has that changed dramatically?
I can relate what we've seen on a national basis. If you allow me, I'll flip to the table that has that. But I want to say that those prices have been relatively flat in relation to the other, like the energy category. But
really?
Let me just check to be sure so I'm not lying.
I do experience several landlords recently that are afraid to raise their rents because they don't want to lose a good tenant.
Yeah. That's shocking.
Yes, I know. Or they don't want it to be vacant for any length of time. So
while Tim is looking for that, CPI came out today. Consumer price index is up largely because of the price of gasoline. Gas went up 7% in September. CPI went up 5% in September, up 6% in August. So It's all due to gas. Is that right, Tim?
Over the month, change in the CPI was primarily driven by the increase in gasoline on a national basis. Over the year, let's see, the 12-month change was 2.0%. And that was more broadly based. The all items less food and energy rose 2.0%. The food index also increased 1.6%. And the energy index has risen 2.3% over that span. So,
and that's gas.
And that includes gas, yeah. Gasoline, mm-hmm. Home heating oil, natural gas, as well as electricity services.
That could go down, but it's unlikely to because of the time of year it is.
Right.
Yeah.
And the increase in gas prices also affect a lot of the other products that I get prices for.
Like
I'll often hear groceries or anything that's delivered.
Yeah.
They'll say to me, well, you know, our fuel costs have gone up, so our prices have gone up.
Yeah. Taxi rides, all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. Yeah.
And we do seasonally adjust the figures from month to month to allow for seasonal variations that we expect to happen every year. We'll take that into account before we announce what the true change in costs are.
Mm-hmm. So do you do stuff like, car repair
yes.
operations?
Yep.
So there's nothing that you don't
pretty much
sample.
If you picture a grocery cart full of everything that the normal person spends money on every month, we try to measure that every month, the same grocery cart of items.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, auto repair, medical services, entertainment.
How do you do medical services?
That one's a little tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
They're busy and you know, they, but you work with an office manager and you choose some specific services that a patient might receive and describe it in a way that next time I can ask again if a patient needed these services.
Because those also vary so dramatically depending on what the service provider is, you know, what hospital you're doing, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So
yeah, it's a little bit harder to capture the insurance portion of it because you have to often have a specific policy number to be able to know what some exact person would pay for it. But we do try to follow as close as we can what a patient would be paying mm-hmm. for a service.
Tim's over there still madly trying to find those rents figures.
I found it. They've recently changed the structure of the table. But I shouldn't say recently. It's within the last several months. But I did find it. And it's the rent component increased 2.2% over the year, unadjusted, for the nation. And that compares to the 2.0% increase in prices overall.
Mm. You know, I'm just curious from a personal perspective, Beth. I mean, when you go around to all these businesses and all these services. I mean, I know you're more or less a statistician, but you must hear all kinds of stuff. I mean, tales of woe, and don't you hear it all?
Yeah, I don't spend a whole lot of time in each place, but I do. There are people who do like to vent or just share information with me, or
because everybody's convinced the government is behind everything, and
right. But for the most part, they know that my purpose there and my reason for being there, and they know that. Complaining to me isn't the right avenue. So generally people are very receptive and accommodating, and it's my job.
So they're happy to give you the numbers, even if it shows that they've,
because it is what it is.
Or?
They just, the numbers are there. They don't have anything to hide, and I'm not taking a whole lot of their time or asking. I'm not asking for their sales figures or their profits or anything. I just want to know what the prices they're charging for an item, just like anyone else would be able to see.
So that's another point of this. Do you take profits into account? Because, I mean, some businesses take a bigger share of the profit, than, others. Some, let's say, small hardware stores as opposed to the really big ones. And, how do you figure that?
Right.
If you're Home Depot or one of those places versus Harvey's Hardware,
That's not something that we consider at the consumer price index level because I'm purely reporting what the retail price is, what any consumer would pay for the item. So I don't gather any information about how much profit or what they paid for it or any of that.
The prices are from the perspective of the consumer. Mm-hmm. So it's what they pay, and it's averaged across the 26,000 or so retail establishments that we collect data from on a month-to-month basis, including Home Depot or, hypothetically, or Harvey's Hardware Store. Those all are going to be aggregated to compute the average price change.
So couldn't both of your jobs, I don't want to take anybody's employment away, be done through a computer, if you had a list of all these people that you've already contacted, if they plugged these numbers in to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics every month, let's say, Why do they need this? Why do they need you, Beth? Why do they need somebody the old-fashioned way, going door-to-door, going into businesses, knocking on?
I don't think those businesses would take the time to plug in the numbers. I do all the work. I go in, I just say hello to them in the store, and I wander around the store. It doesn't take any of their time. But to ask a bunch of businesses to sit down every month and plug in a bunch of numbers, I'm not sure we would get enough data that way.
Mm. Right. And I think, you know, we do take a pledge of confidentiality at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and under no circumstances do we divulge the names of the companies that are participating in our surveys. It's strictly for statistical purposes to help, again, consumers.
So,
decision makers make good decisions.
So the businesses would have to divulge who they were if they were plugging in themselves, if they did it themselves. Yeah. How many companies and... there's how many nationwide? How many of you guys are there? Doing
there's over
this?
400 people that do what I do across the country.
So running around to all these stores, yes. And I've been plugging in the
right.
there's about 2,000 employees, I think, in the Bureau of Labor Statistics nationwide. Mm-hmm. And, the Office of Field Operations that we're a part of, I think, is about maybe 2/3 of that, almost. So at the we're all over the, not me personally, but well, we're in the regions. There's a lot of regional staff throughout the country mm-hmm. collecting this data for the program.
Yeah, I think one of the frustrating things for a lot of people is that it's an average. So, you know, when these consumer price index things come out, it's not really very specific because, you know, these prices change neighborhood to neighborhood. You must see that, Beth. I mean, it's like, it depends. You know, you can be out in Newton or in Dorchester or, you know, it's like every price is completely different depending on where you go.
Right. Yeah, and that's why there are 11 of us collecting, so we are capturing a little bit of each of those areas. But you're right, it is averaged.
Right, right. And, you know, I have kept my eye on gas prices, you know, as a motorist, and they can change by quite a large margin. Mm. You know, right now it's around $3.80 a gallon, $3.90 a gallon. Sometimes it's $4 a gallon
or $5. So this sounds pretty tedious work. How long are you going to stick at this, Beth?
Oh well, I've been doing it for 22 years now.
Oh my gosh!
So it's some ways it's tedious, but mostly it's interesting. Yeah. I'm doing something a little different every day, and I'm talking
different.
To a bunch of different people every day, and I'm not sitting at a desk. I'm driving around. And
well, and as all I can say is, who knew? That's how we get our consumer price index.
Yep.
All right, Tim Considine, Beth Murphy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and Callie Crossley is back in Studio 3.
Emily, I'm sure you've noticed all the Halloween candy in the stores.
I'm not a candy person.
Oh, really?
Really?
No candy corn for you?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, Halloween's just around the corner, and that means candy, and we'll check in with our favorite food writer, Corby Comer, about the sweets he's stuck on. I'm Callie Crossley, and you're listening to Boston Public Radio.
Sugar. You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting.